Night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums, T-U-M-S. Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion, presents A Date with Judy.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Judy Foster?
Yes, it is.
Have you got a date tonight?
No, I haven't.
Good. This is Mr. Spivars, your history teacher.
Jeepers, Mr. Spivars, do you want a date?
No, I merely called to suggest you get out your history book and do your homework for a change.
That's Judy, folks. Judy Foster, the cutest date in town. Your date with her each Tuesday at the same time is arranged by the makers of Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion. Well, let's see. We pick up Judy and her 12-year-old brother, Randolph, as they walk down State Street.
Hey, Judy, which way are you going?
I'm turning around this corner.
Well, that's not the way home.
I know. I'm going to the super-duper sugar bowl.
On the day before we get our allowances?
Oh, I'm not going to eat anything.
Then what are we going to the super-duper sugar bowl for?
To get weighed, naturally.
I don't get it.
Randolph, there's the most terrific scale in front of the sugar bowl. It's utterly marvelous.
Does it give you a better weight than the other scales in town?
Who cares about weight?
Well, people who get on a scale, probably.
Randolph, the important thing about this scale is it tells your fortune. The most marvelous thing happened to Barbara Windsocket yesterday.
What?
Well, Barbara got weighed, and a little card came out that said, "Look out, you will meet with an accident." And last night she fell down and broke her leg.
Is that good?
Well, it shows the scale knows what it's talking about, doesn't it? Oh, here it is. Oh, Randolph, would you lend me a penny? I don't want to break a nickel.
Oh, certainly. Here, be my guest.
Thanks, Randolph. Now, I put the penny in here, and a little card comes out here, and here's my fortune.
I'm all a flutter.
Oh, listen to this. You will meet a tall, dark, and handsome man who will take you on a boat trip.
Does it say whether you'll get seasick or not?
Isn't this marvelous, a boat trip? Oh, Randolph, do you think Mother will let me go?
Not unless the tall, dark, and handsome man is Father, who isn't very tall.
Or very dark.
Or very handsome. You know, Judy, if this fortune comes true, I'll eat my hat.
You don't have a hat.
I am willing to borrow Uncle Oscar's pith helmet for the occasion.
Well, this fortune does present certain difficulties, but I'm sure the scale will work it out somehow. I have every confidence in it.
Don't look now, but isn't that your friend Lulu Benson coming toward us?
Yes, and she's with a man. Oh, Randolph, he's tall and dark and handsome.
He isn't wearing a sailor suit.
Why, hello, Lulu.
Oh, hello, Judy.
How are you, Lulu? I haven't seen you in utterly ages.
Don't be absurd, Judy. You saw me from 9 to 3 at school today.
Why, so I did. Wasn't that very silly of me, Mr.,
Oh, well, okay. Judy, may I present Mr. Cooper? Eric, this is Judy. Let's go, Eric. We're in a hurry.
How do you do, Mr. Cooper?
Hello, Judy. I have to call you Judy because that's all I know.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Mr. Cooper.
Well, in that case, Judy, you'll have to call me Eric.
I'll be very glad to, Eric.
That's just dandy. Now, let's go, Eric. We have to be over to Oogie Pringle's house by...
Oh, Eric, I'd like you to meet my younger brother. This is Randolph. Randolph, Mr. Cooper.
How do you do?
If I let you call me Randolph, can I call you Eric?
Well, goodbye. It's been very nice running into you, Judy. Come, Eric.
Goodbye, Judy. I'll be seeing you, I hope.
Goodbye, Eric. I hope so, too.
Come on, Judy, let's go home. Standing in front of the sugar bowl like this is making me hungry.
Eric, Eric Cooper. Oh, Randolph, wasn't that scintillating? The way my fortune is working out already. He was tall and he was dark and he was handsome.
Well, with the exception of the short, light, and ugly ones, who isn't?
You're so excited.
It was just too absolutely amazing.
All right, tell us.
Judy got weighed.
Is that why she's so excited?
Well, my word, Judy. How much did you weigh?
Oh, that has nothing to do with this.
You got weighed and your weight has nothing to do with it?
The important thing is Judy is going on a boat trip with a tall, dark, and handsome man.
She's what?
It was my fortune. The scale tells your fortune, and that's what it said. And right afterwards, I met a tall, dark, and handsome man.
Man?
About 17 years old.
Go away, children, will you? I'm in a terrible mood. I have something important on my mind, and I can't concentrate on these inconsequentialities.
Inconsequentialities? Father, do you realize...
I realize I'm going to be rather hard to live with if the subject of this conversation doesn't improve rapidly. Scales, fortunes, boat trips.
What's the matter with him, Mother?
Just business.
Don't just business me. I'm about to make the most difficult decision in my career, that's all.
Anything I can help you with, Father?
Oh, that's a good one. You help me. Can't even help myself.
Well, just what is it, dear? I don't understand it.
I've been trying to explain it to you. If you'd put down that sewing and listen...
I'm only ripping out of him, dear.
I don't care what you're ripping. If you want to understand what I'm saying, stop ripping and listen.
All right, dear, now. What is it?
I have been offered a subcontract.
Yes?
If I accept it, I can make a lot of money.
Well, accept it then, Father. That doesn't sound like a very difficult decision to make.
But Judy, if I accept this contract and can't deliver the goods by a certain date, then I can lose a lot of money.
Well, then refuse the contract. Well, Judy's right. It certainly doesn't sound like a difficult decision.
Refuse it? And pass up a chance to make $5,000? You think I'm crazy, Dora?
Well, then accept it. Jeepers, I don't see what's so hard about it.
Accept it, she says. Judy, if I can't deliver, I have to pay a penalty. I can lose my shirt.
Melvin, have you got suspenders on?
What have suspenders got to do with this?
Well, I was just looking at your shirt. You know, the collar's all frayed.
Well, what about it?
Well, I thought if you didn't have suspenders on, you could slip off your shirt quickly, and then I could turn that collar over.
Dora, I'm talking business, and you concern yourself with collars.
Father, is there any chance you wouldn't be able to deliver the goods you're supposed to manufacture?
Is there a chance? Well, for the love of heaven, have you heard there's a war going on?
Well, have you
heard about shortages?
Well,
do you know metal is hard to get?
Well,
that manpower is something you don't have very much of these days?
I'm exhausted.
Gracious, Melvin, if it's going to mean all that trouble, turn the contract down.
But then I lose my chance to make $5,000.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, dear, by all means, accept the contract.
What I like about you, Dora, is that you're so definite about things.
Mm-hmm.
Once you make up your mind about something, there's no changing.
Oh, thank you, dear. I was trying to help.
A lot of help this family's gonna be. I don't know why I ever bothered telling you.
I have the most terrific idea. Father, I know exactly how you can make up your mind.
How?
Get Wade.
Judy, go and do your homework.
I don't have any to do.
Well, then read a book or manicure your nails or your toes, but do something.
But, Father, you have to make a decision, don't you? And this scale is positively uncanny. Remember what it said on my fortune, and then I met a tall, dark, and handsome man? You know what happened to Barbara Windsocket?
No, I don't, and I don't want to know.
She broke her leg.
Huh?
It was positively marvelous.
Breaking her leg was positively marvelous?
Well, of course. The scale told her it was going to happen, and it did.
Judy, how can you believe that nonsense? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now go upstairs and put your hair up in curlers.
In the middle of the afternoon?
Anytime. Just so I can be alone and think. If that phone is for anybody but me, I'm leaving the room.
I'll let you know in a second. Hello?
Hello. May I speak to Miss Judy Foster, please?
You may. Judy, it's for you.
I'm leaving the room.
Who is it, Randolph?
You'll be very happy to know. A man.
That's all I need to know. Goodbye.
Oh, I'm coming with you, Melvin. I want to fix that shirt.
Oh, I'm highly bored. I'll go over to Curly's house. Goodbye, Judy.
Goodbye.
What was that?
Oh, I was just saying goodbye to Randolph. To you, I mean, hello.
Oh, hello. This is Eric Cooper.
It is.
Judy, what are you doing Saturday?
Oh, not a thing. My evening is perfectly free.
Oh, I'd like to give you the evening, but I already have a date. I'm afraid the afternoon is the only time I can work you in.
Oh, that'll be perfect. My Saturday afternoon happens to be completely free.
Oh, swell. Would you like to go to a movie?
Yes, but, Eric, I have the most terrific idea.
What?
Why don't we go for a boat ride?
A boat ride?
Uh-huh. There are some rowboats in the park, and... Oh, Eric, wouldn't it be lovely?
Well, maybe. Sort of a picnic, huh?
Uh-huh. Sort of a picnic.
Well, okay. If you bring the sandwiches.
Oh, I'd love to. Pick me up at 2:00. Well, so long.
So long.
Oh, Mother, Father, come on down.
What is it, Judy?
Something scintillating has happened.
What's all the excitement?
That scale is positively uncanny. I'm going on a boat ride.
Well, sir, Judy has fixed things so that her fortune is working out just as the scale said it would. And, folks, if you want things to work out for you, why butt your head against a stone wall? You simply can't be sweet and sunny if you've got an acid tummy. So why put up with it? It's only a hop, skip, and a jump to the nearest drugstore, and right out there on top of the showcase, the answer is beckoning to you, good old friendly Tums for the Tummy. At the first warning sting of heartburn or that uncomfortable I ate too much too fast feeling, just put two pleasant-tasting Tums on your tongue, same as you would candy mints. Presto, no more acid indigestion. No mixing or stirring, you don't even need water. Anywhere, anytime, quick relief for a dime. Now, don't be a sour grump. Get a roll of Tums this very night. 10 cents at all drugstores, 3-roll package for a quarter. But be sure you get Tums for the Tummy, T-U-M-S. There are many imitations of Tums, but no substitute for them. And now, back to A Date with Judy. Well, Judy got weighed on a scale that tells fortunes, and her fortune has come true, with a little help from Judy. She's tried to persuade Father, who has an important business decision to make, to enlist the scale's aid. So far, she hasn't persuaded him. When we pick up the Fosters, Father is still in a stew.
Oh, heavens, what should I do?
Take the contract.
But if I do, there's always the chance I'd lose a heck of a lot of money.
Well, then refuse it.
No, I'd be better off flipping a coin or putting some numbers in a hat or...
If we'd only get on the scale, Father, like I keep telling
you. Judy, if I hear any more about that silly, superstitious, idiotic...
Superstitious? How can you say such things, Father? Why, yesterday, Oogie Pringle got weighed and his fortune said, a glamorous woman will be your undoing.
Well, what's so miraculous about that?
Right afterwards, his car smashed into a billboard with Hedy Lamarr's picture on it.
Coincidence. Sheer coincidence.
When you can't slough off what happened to Mrs. Slutshammer by calling it coincidence.
Oh, Lord, do I have to listen to that one, too? All right, what happened to Mrs. Slutshammer?
Well, she got on the scale and a card came out saying, you will soon get rid of a troublesome person. And when she got home, Mr. Slutshammer had been reclassified 1A.
Oh, that scale is pretty smart, isn't it?
Oh, is that so? I suppose you'd like to get rid of me, too.
Oh, I'm Melvin. I never said any such thing.
You implied it.
Melvin, I did not.
You laughed when Judy said what happened to Mr. Slutshammer.
Well, I only laughed because the draft board must have made a mistake. Mr. Slutshammer is 49 years old. Oh, you're so touchy these days, Melvin.
If you'd just give the scale a chance,
anybody
Father.
Who mentions that scale again is going to get a punch in the nose.
Hi, everybody. Guess what happened with the scale?
What, Randolph?
Well, Curly Whiteman and I were standing in front of the super-duper sugar bowl, wishing we could have a chocolate sundae, but we only had 6 cents.
Yes?
Well, so long as I couldn't afford a sundae, and there was the scale.
Yes?
Well, I invested a penny, and guess what?
What?
I hit the jackpot.
You what?
All I did was put in my penny, and 19 cents came out.
Well, what's so remarkable about that? The scale was broken.
Ah, but my fortune.
What did it say?
It said plain as day, quote, you will come into money,
unquote.
This whole business is sheer nonsense. Anybody who believed that a piece of machinery had psychic powers is an unmitigated moron. Am I right, Dora?
Yes, dear. Goodbye.
Well, where are you going?
Out for a walk.
For a walk?
Yes, yes. I was just thinking I'm getting terribly fat.
Melvin, what are you doing?
Looking out the window.
Oh, Melvin, it must be 4 a.m. Get back in bed.
Why should I? I can't sleep anyhow.
Dear, are you still worrying about that contract?
Yes, I'm still worrying about that contract.
Melvin, why don't you see what the scale says about it?
Dora, if I hear any more about that scale...
It works so well for me. A little card came out and it said...
I don't care what the little card said. I don't want to hear about it.
Melvin, what are you doing?
Getting dressed, that's what I'm doing.
At 4 a.m.?
Is it 4 a.m. at 4 a.m.?
Where are you going?
Out for a walk. That's where I'm going.
Oh, Melvin, are you going to try the scale?
Well, of course I'm not. What, do you think I am, a fool? When a man has an important business decision to make, he depends on his brains, not on little cards that come out of a scale. Scale. I wouldn't go within a mile of it. Doggone it. Come all this distance and I don't have a penny. Mister?
Yes?
Could you lend me a penny?
Oh, broke, are you?
No, no, I'm not broke. I just want to borrow a penny, that's all.
Well, that's all right. Here's a dime. Buy yourself a cup of coffee.
I don't want a cup of coffee. I just want a penny.
You're the cheapest panhandler I ever saw.
I am not cheap. I mean, I am not a... Look, I have got money in my pocket. I got a 50-cent piece. I got a $10 bill. I just want to borrow a penny.
What for?
Well, if you must know, I want to get weighed.
At 5 o'clock in the morning?
I always get weighed at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm eccentric. I'm superstitious, see?
Oh. Well, okay, buddy. Here's your penny.
Thank you.
Well, how much do you weigh?
Who cares how much I weigh?
You come down here at 5 in the morning, you borrow a penny to work the scale, and now you don't care how much you weigh?
Well, of course not. He who risks nothing gets nothing.
What was that?
I said he who risks nothing gets nothing. That's what it says on this card. Well, say, this is great. Say, thanks for the penny, mister. So long.
Well, that guy's nuts. Well, the scales made quite an impression on Father, not to mention the impression Father made on the man who loaned him the penny. You know, folks, it takes years to make a friend. You can make an enemy in 20 seconds just by flying off the handle and blurting a few cutting words that you'd never think of saying if your nerves weren't on edge from acid indigestion. No, it doesn't pay to be a sour grump. Acid indigestion from overeating, oversmoking, late hours, worry, or from any one of a dozen causes has wrecked more homes and ruined more friendships than you can imagine. I'm telling you. And how needless it is. At the first sign of heartburn and over-acid stomach, if you just put two little pleasant-tasting Tums on your tongue, same as you would candy mints, in no time the storm will have passed and the sun will burst forth and all's well with you and the world. Keep your sunny disposition and your friends. Sweeten your stomach and your home with Tums. Get the great American habit, night and day, at home or away, always keep Tums handy. Tums for the tummy, T-U-M-S. 10 cents a roll at all drugstores. 3-roll package for a quarter. And now back to A Date with Judy. Well, Father has finally fallen for the scale idea himself. We pick him up as he comes into the dining room for breakfast.
Well, Dora, it's all settled. I've called Mr. Hendricks and told him I'll sign the contract.
Oh, that's fine, Melvin.
How'd you make up your mind, Father?
Sheer reasoning power, that's all. There's a certain science to these things, Randolph. I figured it all out mathematically, and I came to the conclusion that I can't lose by taking the contract.
Just the same, I wish you'd have consulted the scale. Remember what happened to Barbara and Mrs. Schlutzhammer and the boat ride I'm going on?
No, now, honey, that fortune-telling stuff is all right for women and children. I won't say anything against it, but when it comes to a man and his business problems, only good, solid figuring will solve them.
Oh, Melvin, sometimes I just admire your mind so much.
Well, anybody can think these things out if he just concentrates hard enough.
Oh, well, I wonder who that is.
Well, nobody ever phones me so early in the morning, but I'll take it anyhow.
Little martyr.
Hello?
Hello, Judy. This is Eric.
Oh, hello.
Judy, I've got to break the date to go boat riding.
You do?
Yeah. Lulu says she has a previous date with me Saturday afternoon. I don't remember it, but she's pretty firm about it. I'm sorry. Call you again sometime.
Yes, do.
Okay. So long.
So long.
Who was that, dear?
Eric Cooper.
Oh, the tall, dark, and handsome man is going to take you for a boat ride?
Yes. Except he's not going to take me for a boat ride.
He's not going... Judy, what are you saying?
He has a previous date with Lulu Benson.
Well, he can't do this to me. I mean, to you. What's the nerve of him?
I never saw you get so excited about Judy's dates before.
Well, it's about time somebody got excited about them. Breaking dates on her like that, it's outrageous.
Well, if she can stand it, I should think you could.
Well, I can't. He's not going to get away with it.
Why, Melvin, I never saw you take on anything so hard.
You expect me to sit here and take it easy when my own daughter is stood up?
Oh, that's true. I am stood up.
Oh, now, don't you mind. When I was a girl, your father stood me up lots of times.
I did not. I never stood you up.
You did, too. The time that attractive-looking girl from Minneapolis with the buck teeth was in town.
I did not stand you up. I merely changed our date to another evening.
Now, Melvin, all this yelling. You see what you've done to Judy?
Well, she ought to be upset. I'm upset, too. Stood up. It's disgraceful.
Well, I'm going upstairs and calm Judy down. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
If she were any kind of a wife, she'd stay here and calm me down.
Father, me thinks there is something behind all this that does not meet the eye.
Behind it? What could be behind it? I'm simply furious because a young...
Father, This hasn't anything to do with a certain scale in front of the super-duper sugar bowl, has it?
Well, of course not. Well, certainly not. Whatever gave you an idea like that?
Oh, nothing. Father, what did your fortune say?
He who risks nothing gets...
Oh, that's all right, Father. I kind of fell for that scale thing myself.
Well, it just worked out so well for everybody else, I kind of...
Sure. I know exactly how you felt.
Now that kid breaks his date and upsets my entire confidence in the whole thing.
Yeah, that is too bad.
Randolph, that boy has got to take Judy on a boat ride Saturday afternoon. He's got to. Otherwise, I'll never have a peaceful moment the whole time I'm trying to fulfill that contract.
Well, you could fix it so he has to take Judy out Saturday afternoon.
I could? How?
Well, Eric broke his date with Judy on account of having a previous date with Lulu Benson.
Yeah.
Well, what if Lulu Benson had a still previouser date with somebody else and had to break her date with Eric?
Well, that's a good idea, but how can we arrange it?
Well, we could get some tall, dark, and handsome man to call Lulu.
Yeah, but who?
You, Father. You.
Hello. Lulu Benson, please.
This is Lulu.
It is? Oh. Well, this is Melvin,
Hockenlocker.
Oh, yeah, Hockenlocker. Melvin Hockenlocker. I met you at a party a couple of months ago.
You did?
Yes, I did. And, I admired you very much at the time, Miss Benson. Lulu?
Nice going, Father.
You did?
Yes, I did. I called you to remind you of the date we have this Saturday afternoon.
This Saturday afternoon? Why, I don't remember making any dates for this.
Of course you do. We were standing right in the middle of the room. I remember it perfectly. And you said to me, "Why, Melly, I just love having a date with you on May the 27th, 1944.
I did?
Well, of course I remember distinctly.
Well, I don't.
Now, you wouldn't go back on your word, would you?
No, but...
Good. Okay, I'll see you Saturday. So long. Well, how was I, Randolph?
Stinking. But it'll do, it'll do.
Father, guess what?
What?
Eric Cooper just phoned me and he wants to make the date for Saturday again.
Well, that's great. I'm tickled to hear.
He said Lulu broke the previous date he had with her.
Fine. But I'm going to work. I hope you have a nice time on your date.
Oh, I'm not going on the date.
You're not going to... What did you say?
I said I'm not going on the date.
You're not? Why not?
Well, he can't just shove me around like that. Make the date with me, then break it, then try to make it again. I just turned him down flat.
You turned him down flat? A nice, fine, upstanding man like, Eric Cooper?
Why, Father, you just said the most terrible things about him a little while ago.
Judy, I'm ashamed of you. You call him right back and apologize.
Apologize? Why, I will not. Not after what he did to me. I wouldn't go out with him if he were the last man on earth.
Oh, why do these things happen to me?
Hey, Father.
What do you want, Randolph?
You are in trouble.
In trouble?
Yeah.
Nonsense. I couldn't be in any more trouble than I am.
Oh, yes, you could. Remember when you called up Lulu and asked for a date?
Yes, of course. Why?
Well, Mother was listening on the upstairs phone, and is she furious?
Oh, for the love of heaven. Randolph, do you suppose it'll ever stop raining?
Frankly, no.
Things aren't bad enough with your mother not talking to me, and now it rains for 3 whole days, and my whole factory basement's flooded.
Hello,
and...
Father Randolph.
Hello.
Guess what happened to me?
I give up.
Well, the whole downtown is practically flooded, and I was trying to get across the street, only I couldn't, when a tall, dark, and handsome man came along in a boat.
A boat?
Mm-hmm. And rowed me across the street.
Oh. Eureka! It worked! The scale worked after all.
Well, yeah, it did, didn't it?
Well, I feel like a new man. Everything's fine. Now all I have to worry about is when your mother's going to start talking to me again.
That you will have to figure out scientifically.
I intend to. Randolph, can you lend me a penny? Penny. Let me see. Oh, here it is. I don't know why I'm doing this darn fool thing. But, Dora, what are you doing at the super-duper sugar bowl?
I'm not talking to you, Melvin.
Oh, Dora, you still upset about that silly Lulu Benson business?
I don't care to discuss
basket with you.
Dora, do you honestly believe that I'd call up Lulu Benson for a date? Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. If I were going to call up anybody, I'd call up Greer Garson or somebody.
Oh, so you've got a crush on Greer Garson?
Yeah, I never said anything of the sort. I merely said this whole thing is nonsense. Why, to think that you'd even think that I'd call up Lulu for a date. Happily married man with two children. Why, if I did ask her for a date, I bet you wouldn't give me one.
Oh, so you're furious because she refused you.
She didn't refuse me.
She accepted you.
Dora, this is ridiculous. How can you believe I'd do anything like this at my age?
I'm just as old as you are, Melvin Foster. I suppose you think that I've got one foot in the grave.
I never said that. Dora, the whole thing is ridiculous.
Well, I thought it was ridiculous, too, but then I came down and asked the scale.
You asked the scale?
Yes, and, oh, look what the guard says. Don't be too sure of your husband.
Dora, I'm ashamed of you. Taking the word of a silly old scale, it's moronic. It's absolutely childish.
Is it? Well, I see you've got a card in your hand. You must believe in it, too.
Well, nothing of the sort. I simply came down here to get weighed. I haven't even looked at the card. I'll tell you what. Now, this'll prove it. It'll show you the whole thing is wacky. I'll read it to you.
All right, do.
All right. It says, you are in terrible trouble.
You see? Now, don't tell me that scale doesn't know what it's doing.
Yeah, but Dora...
I'm going home.
Dora...
And remember, I'm still not talking to you.
Well, Father, I fixed you up. I explained the whole thing to Mother.
Oh, Randolph, you did?
Yeah, I told her just why you called Lulu Benson, that you were just trying to make Judy's fortune work out, and she forgives you.
She'll talk to me again? Oh, wonderful.
No, I'm sorry. I was so silly.
Oh, Dora.
Oh, forgive me, dear. You know, the idea of you calling a young girl like Lulu Benson. I should have known better.
Sure. Imagine me calling a young girl like Lulu Benson when I have you. I mean...
I know what you mean, Doc. It's all right. Give me a kiss. Mm.
Thanks, dear.
And now I'm going out to the kitchen to make you a nice cup of coffee.
It's just what I want.
Father, I was just thinking.
What, Randolph?
Well, do you think it's nice to stand a girl up on a date?
What do you mean?
Well, I bet right this minute Lulu Benson is sitting home waiting for you to take her on the date you asked her for.
Oh. Well, do you think so?
Well, sure. It seems to me the polite thing to do would be to call her up and tell her Melvin Hockenlocker is a fictitious character.
You're absolutely right. You hand me the phone.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Lulu?
Yes, who's this?
This is Melly Hockenlocker.
Well, where are you?
Lulu, there's something I have to tell you about our date this afternoon.
Melvin!
Dora! When did you come back?
In time to hear everything. Oh, Melvin, I never want to see you again.
Dora! Oh, now what'll I do?
Well, here's a penny, Father.
We'll be back with the Fosters next week. Now, just a reminder that acid indigestion is no respecter of place or person. It's likely to hit you in a movie, in a bus, in bed, at a bridge game, the office, or in church. And that's why millions, night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. In any company, you can take Tums unnoticed. At the first sign of heartburn or an upset acid stomach, slip one or two Tums in your mouth as you would candy mint. Nothing to mix or stir. You don't even need water. And remember, Tums act in a different way from most other antacids. For Tums are different. They contain no soda or other water-soluble alkalis. Therefore, they do not over-alkalize your stomach and cause an acid rebound. You'll find Tums your best friend when acid indigestion strikes. At all drugstores, 10 cents a roll, 3-roll package for a quarter. Tums for the tummy. T-U-M-S. A Date with Judy is written by Aline Leslie and stars Louise Erickson and Dix Davis. The music was composed by Paul Sautel and conducted by Konstantin Bakalenikov through the courtesy of RKO Studios. The program is produced and directed by Helen Mack. Be with us again next Tuesday at the same time to keep your date with Judy. And remember, night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S.
National Broadcasting Company. KFI Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony Incorporated.